Okay, welcome everybody to this evening's teleseminar called How to Use Emotion to Transform Your Sales in 2008. My name is Damien Sen and it's a great pleasure to welcome you from wherever you're calling in from this evening. Now we have people registered on the call from 11 different countries around the world. So whether you're in Australia, Austria, Canada, France, Germany, Ireland, South Africa, Spain, Uganda, the UK or the US. I'd just really like to take this opportunity to say thank you for making the time and the effort to actually join this call. It is going to be an amazing call, so welcome to each and every single one of you. Now, very shortly, I'll be also joined by my very good friend, Nikki Pattinson. And before I actually welcome Nikki, I just wanted to spend a couple of moments up front just to let you all know how this call will run this evening. Now the call is going to run for around about an hour and over the course of the hour I will be asking Nikki various questions about the whole sales process and how to use emotion and storytelling to really engage prospects and build relationships and rapport. And some of the questions I'll be asking will be mine, but the majority of the questions have actually come from the people who have signed on to the call. Now with the opt-in process we gave people the opportunity to ask their big questions around the sales process and how to increase their sales for their business during 2008. So we've done our very best to try and cover a lot of the themes that were brought up in the questions. So yeah, we've got some great questions that came in, so we'll be asking those throughout the call. Also at the end of the call I'll be spending a bit of time just asking Nikki a little bit more about a big gig she's got coming up in the next week. And also, I will be opening up the lines for the questions. So we might have a few questions at the end as well, if we have time. Okay, so Nikki Pattinson. I've known Nikki for a couple of years now. And I have to say, she is one of the most inspiring women I have ever met. And there was certainly no mistake when Nikki entered my life. She's made an incredible impact and I've been touched by her story and about her journey and just really about her enthusiasm for life and her enthusiasm to help other people. And I guess her volunteering her time and energy this evening to share some of her life experience really is a testimony to that fact. Now I just want to give you a little bit of background on Nikki and her story. But certainly Nikki will go into a little bit more detail into her journey in a few moments from now. But I just wanted to sort of kick off 10 years ago when Nikki was 39 years of age. She was living on benefits, having been unemployed for quite a period of time. She was a single mum and was really just in that position of pulling her life together after some traumatic experiences. And it just so happened that she bumped into a guy called Julian and he saw some raw talent inside Nikki and decided to give her an opportunity to join his firm called Propaganda. Now over the course of the first year of Nikki working in this sales role, it was her first role in field sales, she brought in around 27,000 I think to be precise, £27,000 short of £1 million of business in her first year of sales with that organisation and literally transformed a company that was probably close to going under into like a really buzzing, young, thriving company just purely by really throwing herself into the role and literally transforming that organisation. From there, she went and joined a global agency called Addict, where she worked for another 4 years. She flew right around the world, spending a lot of time in the States, just dealing with big clients and bringing in big global brands. And after that 4 year period, like many of us on the call, I have no doubt, who do feel those entrepreneurial urges, she realised the time had come for her to actually leave paid employment and to go out and set up on her own. And she set up a company called Hire It's Nikki. And Hire It's Nikki, in its infancy, started off teaching people everything that Nikki had learned about the sales process and the skills and reputation and I guess experience that she's developed over the preceding years. And Nikki just threw her heart into it, threw her soul into it, and I think just her full approach to actually presenting herself and her ideas through her training. She's, over the last probably 18 months to 2 years, she's been called, I guess, to broaden her capacity as a speaker and really start sharing some of her experiences as a human being and her journey. And really, she's touching audiences all over the world. And certainly, she's made a few TV appearances as well this year, so there's many more on the go as well. So without further ado, it gives me great pleasure to welcome Nikki to the call. Hello, Nikki.
Hi, everybody. Do you know, I've got to say, Damien, when I listened to you then, I was thinking, is that really me? It's so different when you're actually living through it. I mean, yeah, all those things did happen, but when you're actually living through it, you don't see it in quite the same way. It's quite emotional to hear somebody else telling a story about you. It's crazy. But thank you for all those words.
But you have lived a remarkable story, Nikki, and I just certainly for my benefit again, because I love hearing you about your journey, but also for the benefit of people on the call. I was just wondering if we could turn the clock back 10 years to where you were at 39 years of age. I guess when Julian offered you that first job.
Oh, blimey. Well, first of all, you know, for everything that happened to me, Damien, I am so grateful because there's a destiny in this. I always knew I would be on stage. I always knew I'd be on TV. I always knew I would write books. But I had to go through that process to bring me to here. So first of all, I'm very grateful for everything that happened. But yeah, at 39, Julian, I met him at a party actually, and him and his wife, and he said they were looking for somebody to do new business in their agency. At that time, there were only, I think, 8 or 10 people. It was a very, very small design agency. I'd not worked for 2 years, and I was absolutely flipping terrified. I remember feeling physically sick when I walked up to driving that first day at work. That very first day, me and my ex-husband, I've got to point out, we had a market store business that we took from £1,000 a week, £1,000 a week, to £1.5 million a year, which would be probably about £5 million, $10 million now a year. And all I did was tweak what I had learned on connecting with people on that market stall, take it and use it in another medium, which was called calling. And you know, my life changed that day. On that very first day, I got 4 brand new meetings. And one of those meetings, from cold, just a list of names and a phone, one of those meetings turned in 6 weeks into a £220,000 piece of business. Julian has just sold half his shares out 11 years later for $7.5 million. Last year he had his own TV show, and he is the branding god behind taking GHB from doing nothing to doing this amazing business. How fantastic is that?
Now, I've got to ask you, Nikki, did you know that your efforts in the agency would actually bring you instant success, or what was actually going through your mind?
Oh, terrified, but it's really strange, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of people that will understand this. When I walked through those doors, Damien, I was very, very broken. To be honest, my son had died, suddenly my mother had died, my father had died, I'd lost my business, my home, all my money, everything. But it's almost like it became a healing for me. And I changed overnight, literally, from being somebody that everybody felt sorry for, and, you know, don't go near her, she swears all the time, you know, she's lost her son, she's full of grief, she might start crying, to, Nikki, how do you do it? That is genius. No, sit down, tell me how you do it. And people's perception of me changed. So the perception of myself changed, literally overnight. And it became a healing. And success does, it just changes the way that you are inside.
And would you say that you needed to change inside first, or did the success come and then you changed inside?
Well, it was all very planned out, and it's funny because I was really nervous, single parent, first day at work in 3 years, and I found tonight when I knew we were doing this call, a little book that I wrote in the week before, And in this little book, I've written down, I suppose now it's affirmations, but I didn't realise what it was. But I put down, I am repaying drum reading from a book now, and the date is, where is it? It's 1997. And I'm saying, and the date is here, and I'm actually putting in, I am repaying Julian and Trude for having belief in me. In my first year, I do £1 million as a business. So I guess I changed it myself, didn't I? I changed myself inside before I sat on that chair and picked that phone up.
Brilliant. Now, there are probably lots of people on the call this evening that they can probably resonate with where you were 10 years ago, literally moving into either a sales role or possibly setting up their own business and making those first cautious steps out into the world to connect with their audience and their prospective customers. What sort of advice would you give for someone who's just beginning that road to really just get a head start and start making some sales?
Yeah, get very clear about what it is that you want and why you're doing it. I think you need to write down and write all the reasons that you wanted to start that business. I mean, when you start a business yourself, as you will know, it becomes consuming. It's almost like you don't have a choice. But all those feelings that making a success of that business would create inside you, I think you've got to sit and write it all down and be very clear about the purpose of the business and about your purpose in life. Like, clarity, I would say, is the number one thing.
Okay, great.
And also, delete other people's perceptions of what you're doing and why you're doing it, because everybody also has an idea about you that you've just got to delete. I have to say that when I set up my own cold calling business 4 years ago, after being in inverted commas safe employment, everybody told me that I was nuts. But you know what, I preferred at that time to call it safe, and as it turned out, it was definitely the right road for me.
Yeah. And can you just tell me a little bit more about that calling or that internal urge that you felt at the time, Nikki? Like you would have been making great money flying all around the world, earning excellent commissions. What was it that drove you to actually turn your back on all of that, all the hard work that you put in to literally get out in the world and set up your own business? What was the internal urge for doing that or taking that action?
I've become addicted to growing. You know, 50 years ago, Damien, 50 years ago, you got to 21, you got the key to the door, your life was more or less finished, there was no notion of growing. But what you do for a living and how you spend your days, that forces you to grow inside. If you master something and then you move on to something else, if you make a habit of mastering something and then moving on to something else. And I woke up one morning, I can tell you exactly, it was the 10th of August, 4 years ago, I woke up at 5 in the morning and I knew it was all over. I knew that if I got a meeting with God to rebrand heaven that day for Attic, it would not have been enough, because it wasn't the success, it was the growing. And by 9:30, I knew I had to jack my cards in. I knew, you know, I just handed in my notice literally a few hours later.
Wow.
And that with that, it's a compulsion. And anybody listening to this call will know that once you cross that line, once that idea has come into your head, you've imagined yourself in that position, you know that it's all over. You have to do it. It's a compulsion.
No, I can certainly relate to that. I know, like a lot of the clients that I deal with, entrepreneurs that have that real passion and that real desire to actually find out what they're truly capable of. So, I can personally definitely resonate with that feeling as well. And one thing I have learned...
It's funny as well, sorry if I could just make the point that once I imagined myself in that business, and I went straight out, bought a Mercedes, you know, my sister's on this call, she'll be laughing. I'd jacked in the cabs at 9:30, by 1 o'clock I'd bought a brand new Mercedes, by 5 o'clock I'd got myself £250,000 mortgage because I needed to move house. But you know what, once I'd got that clarity and imagined myself...
That was all on the same day.
Sorry?
That was all
the same day. Only in the space of a few hours. Hey, Damien, when our Nikki's on a roll, she's on a roll. So But Luke forced me to do what I had to grow, because I had to grow into that role then. And now that passion that I used to feel about going out and getting the sales in Fanatic and Propaganda, I then felt towards my new business, and I again got that adrenaline rush, which I started to miss because I just got used to selling, and it's not that it didn't mean anything, but it just didn't have the same kick for me anymore.
Okay, brilliant. Now, I just wanted to go back to your first year at Propaganda, where you brought in virtually £1 million worth of new business in the first year.
Mm.
Now, I know, again, we've probably got some very ambitious people on the call as well who are keen to sort of work out what are the key distinctions they need to make within their own game, I guess, to actually become a million-dollar player or to cultivate a million-dollar mindset. Mm. I was just wondering if you could maybe highlight some of the key distinctions that you made on that journey, and just in hope that it might help other people on the call.
I think it's interesting to read out of this book again. I'd put a little, let me just find the front page, I hope you can have the pages turning here. I wrote a little note that first morning, and it said, in the beginner's mind there are many possibilities, but in the expert's mind there are few. And I had no idea it was difficult to bring in millions of quid with the business. I had no idea because nobody had told me. And, you know, in my husband's retail business, we'd talked in millions of pounds with the turnover. So I automatically thought in millions. And I guess that it's as easy to think in millions as it is in pounds or dollars or hundreds of thousands. And I had that figure of £1 million for Julian. In every single bit of my DNA, every time we went out to see a customer or I picked up that phone, that £1 million tale kept ringing and ringing and ringing in my ears. I became it, and it became me. But looking back, you know, it could have been just as easily. It could have been a figure of $25 or £100, or it's just that I chose it with millions.
And so do you think it's just as easy to set your sights at £50,000 or £100,000 as it is to set your heart on $1 million and go after it? Or is it easy?
Oh, I do, yeah. I mean, something just occurred to me. You know, me and my ex-husband set a sight on over £1 million turnover. That's what we did. Then I went somewhere, you know, I went to Propaganda and did millions again. And, you know, now I'm turning over what I thought in my head a year ago that I wanted to turn over in this. So I think, yeah, you actually choose where you want to go. And whether you do that in you know, four pieces of business that is all $250,000, or a million pieces of business that is all a dollar each, then it's, you know, it's all the same.
Okay, brilliant. Now, just the other thing I'm quite curious about as well is the whole, I guess, the vocation of sales. And what it's actually like to be a salesperson. Because I know that there are a lot of people will have a stereotypical picture in their mind about what a salesperson is. And I was just wondering if I could just get you to share firsthand just, you know, what is it like to actually be a salesperson?
You know, I was laughing at that as soon as you started to talk, because I know that most people on this call will be imagining me now. So thinking salesperson, they'll be thinking that I'm 98 stones or £2 million in weight, that I've got a slightly grown out permed haircut that I did myself, dodgy makeup, cheap clothes, and an air registered Mini Metro outside, because that is how we like to see salespeople. Well, you know what? Does that make me jump? I'll tell you, it does. Because this is what it's like to be a salesperson. Everything starts and finishes with you. You are the most creative person on the planet, because one minute there's nothing, there's an idea in your head, it's a phone call, it's a letter, it's whatever it is, the next minute there's a load of new business, and from that new business comes everything, locally, nationally and internationally. And I know that because I've done it. But I mean, one of the funny things is, you know, I've got a friend who's a barrister, and she might lose a court case, and she comes home and she feels down. So she'll put the TV on, and it's okay because Judge John Deed and all these courtroom dramas are on TV, and the industry is glamorized, so she feels very glamorous. And then I've got a friend who's a doctor, and she might lose a patient. She'll come home, she'll put ER on TV, and her industry is glamorous, is glamorized, so she'll feel glamorous about what she does, even though she's had a couple of knockbacks that week. Salespeople, sometimes you don't speak to somebody for a week or a fortnight, sometimes it all goes wrong, you lose sales, you turn the TV on, and you know what, salespeople, they're flipping rubbish anyway. You know what, I think that being a salesperson is the most glamorous business there is, because I make appointments with people, I get my best suit on, sometimes I fly to work, sometimes I go in Mercedes, sometimes I go on the train, and I feel glamorous. It's a very glamorous lifestyle, and far more creative and worthwhile than most. Without us, there's no economy, Damien.
You know, I definitely believe there is incredible truth in the phrase that we all make a living by selling something, whether we're, even I guess those doctors are selling solutions to their patients, lawyers are selling solutions to their customers as well. So I guess like wherever you are in the world, like we're all selling to some level. It's just whether or not people actually tune into that fact or not.
Absolutely. You know what? Even receptionists in companies, they're selling, because they're selling the experience of what it would be like to work with that company. Everybody, everywhere is selling everything.
Now, I guess this call specifically is about emotion and using emotions in sales to really make these personal connections with your potential customers and clients, as well as your existing clients, to I guess foster relationships that are mutually beneficial. So I just, in terms of just kicking things off on the emotional side of things, I was just wondering if you could spend a bit of time just discussing how emotion works in the sales process.
Yeah, I call it fast forwarding to the end of the rainbow. It's almost like you've got to take people to the emotion as if they'd already bought the product or service and felt good about it before you actually get them to buy it. But what most people do, they don't speak with any emotion in the voice, and they almost cut off emotionally from the person that they're trying to sell to. So they will create somebody who isn't real, a salesperson who isn't real. So they will speak to people and they'll go, "Dear sir and clerkies, we would like to confirm our meeting off." And what they're actually doing is they're creating this person that if they get deleted by the prospect, it doesn't matter because it's not real, it isn't them. But that is the one thing that will get you deleted in 2007, because we're selling a sell. So we've got to speak in a very emotive way and actually sell the very essence of who you are, because that is actually what people are buying in a very saturated market. So, and putting those words and phrases together in non-business speak in a way that resonates with people. If you say the same thing as everybody else, nobody's listening. Let me give you a little example of that. Actually, there were one or two points there, weren't there, in that last little rant. But let me just give you a little bit of an insight into what I mean. I used to do a lot of pictures with the advertising agencies, and sometimes I'd get meetings and somebody else would write the pitch, and I'd have to sit through, you know, the last couple of slides, and it would probably say something like, "We at the Joe Bloggs Agency know that having we at the Joe Bloggs Agency pride ourselves on our customer service, and you can always be assured of our best attention at all times." Now, you know, most people will say something in a service industry that sounds something a little bit like that, a very sterile, very 1958 salesperson. And we used to just change the back and say the same thing, but we'd put words together, we'd break the trance by doing quite an emotive phrase, although we were saying the same thing. And it'd be something like, we at the Joe Bloggs Agency, we know that having your own business, it's almost like having another child. So let me tell you, one thing you can rely on, if you work with us, your baby will become our baby too. And now that worked. Delivered properly, that worked so well. We just won so many pictures with that, Damien, because it's the same thing, but you're creating an emotional picture in the person's mind, or the person that you're selling to's mind, of what it would actually mean to work with you, that their business would be like your baby. That's a completely different energy to we would pride ourselves on our customer service and assure you of our best attention, which nobody's listening to, are they?
Yeah, it sounds like I know I'm a very visual person, so it's amazing just the actual visuals that were popping through my own head when you were describing that introduction, as opposed to the first introduction. And it was certainly, it was far more vivid for me to have the sort of metaphor of the baby to really wrap around my, in terms of the way that I process information, so.
And quite honestly, Damien, how do you see your business? You know, you get up in the middle of the night with it. You know, we're all pissed to fall in the middle of the night if we've got our own business. It is like having a child.
Mm.
So I guess it is just taking that actual emotional fact, that true fact, and creating a picture, creating an emotional visual picture in people's minds that make them connect to your company in a different way than they would connect to other people's companies.
Yeah, that's very powerful. Cool. Okay, Nikki, as I mentioned earlier on in the call, we actually had a flood of registrations for the call, and we had questions on all different aspects of sales come through. And I've compiled a list of some of the questions here that I'm going to ask you. So,
brilliant.
I'm just going to kick off with a question from Paul. And Paul wanted to know, how could he actually build instant trust with prospective clients? Now, trust is one of the most emotive things you can bring into a sales conversation. So, how do you personally go about building trust?
Hey, Paul, brilliant question. Absolutely flipping brilliant. A question back to you. What is the difference between an acquaintance that you hardly know and a friend? The answer to that is that a friend will tell you personal things about themselves. And you know what? When people do that, we actually don't know the difference. So maybe a little example of that would be, I mean, I don't know your domestic situation, but you might be sat with somebody that you've never met before, a prospective client, and it's just one sentence. It's one simple sentence that gives an insight into you and your life. So it could be something like, oh, you know what, Damien? Today I feel like I've got bags under my eyes with the size of the flipping Himalayas. We've got a six-week-old baby, and I'll tell you what, he just does not sleep. They don't tell you when you have children that it's hell as well, as much as heaven, do they? And, you know, maybe somebody should give you a little handbook when you bring them back for the hospital. Now, that's another visual. It's telling something about you, Paul, that is very personal. You almost go back to the house. You're almost pacing that floor in the middle of the night with you. So it's just one sentence that changes the way that people would see you. It makes you a friend rather than just an acquaintance very, very quickly.
I actually just had a flashback, Nikki, to the first time that we actually got together for a coffee.
Don't tell them.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I think I will share it with everyone. But literally, we met in a lovely hotel for a coffee. And you just mentioned the story how someone had, while you were sitting there waiting for me, had come up to you and asked you if you were famous. And we just had a really engaging conversation around this whole dynamic and how it often happened to you quite regularly in various hotels that you would go and meet different people in. But it certainly, it gave me a picture and it gave me a story to hold on to, and certainly created in my mind, I'm meeting a person that's dynamic, that's engaging, that's attracting the eye of other people. And at the time I just thought it was a very powerful anecdote to share, and certainly gave me an insight into you as a character. So,
thank you. One sentence changes everything if you're telling the truth about yourself, but it's always got to be the truth.
Yeah. Brilliant. Okay, we've got a question from David here. His question is, how to build an effective database of prospective clients, and then how to convert those prospects into clients.
Oh, another freaking brilliant question, David. Well, I used to do all the databases for everywhere that I ever worked. And a couple of little tips here. One, don't do too much searching the web and everything. Don't do too much research on these people that you're putting on those databases. It's a waste of time until you've actually got the meeting, and that's one mistake that people make. They'll spend hours finding out about companies that they may never even meet. But when you do put those lists together, you want to put three lists together. Number one, batting slightly below the weight that you're working at now, so slightly smaller companies than the ones that you're working with now, so you can nip in, pick some money up, and nip back out again. And then batting on the same weight as, you know, the same size companies that your company has grown to work with. And finally, your third list, well, let's have that, the flipping dream list. Let's put names on the third list that you dreamt of when you first set that business up, however many years ago it was. And let's see how many of them we can get to jump in the next couple of years. People make a lot of mistakes with the list, and they'll put all the Adidas's and the Nikes and the Sony's and the Carlsbergs. They'll put them on those lists, and then, you know, it might take them 2 years to get into the big hitters. So they're not actually putting any money in at the bottom end. So below your weight, batting at your weight, and your dream list. Get on with it. And the other little one final piece of information there, keep that list at the side of your bed, read it every single night before you go to bed, and when you wake up in the morning, go through it again. You will feel that you know, on some level, you will feel that you know those people, and believe me, that will make it so it's not quite so scary to ring them.
Brilliant. I reckon there's three very good points, and I'll just repeat those, Nikki, because I think they're definitely worthwhile repeating. Just compiling three lists of prospects, companies that are slightly smaller than where you're at the moment, companies that are literally bang on in terms of size for where you're pitching right at this very moment, and also your dream list of absolute ideal clients that you're literally aspiring to and certainly cultivating over time to move in and meet those clients. And also like the idea of actually just keeping things fresh in your mind, which actually, I suppose, drawing back into your year of propaganda, having your little red book, like having all those ideas fresh in your mind on an ongoing basis, certainly does help to bring those dreams very real in your life. Now, a lot of people on the call were very, very curious about the whole cold calling process. I mean, certainly people have had different experiences around picking up the phone and calling people cold, I guess ranging from cold calling not working for someone to really how to actually stay in flow when you're on the call. But I did pick a question from Olivia, and his question around cold calling was how to actually keep the motivation going. I guess like if you own that sales capacity, if you're having a week or a day where the prospects aren't connecting with your message, how do you actually keep that motivation going strong?
Oh, big question, Olivia. Right, I'll tell you what I do. When I am on that phone, I always have in the background, in fact, I forgot to switch it off before I got onto this call because usually you would have been able to hear it very slightly in the background. I always have some classical music on in the background, and that just keeps my consciousness ticking over at a particular velocity, I suppose, so that my energy doesn't actually run out. It just keeps going and going and going, and my mind just ticks over at a particular velocity. And I always have photographs in front of me of all the great people that I've worked with, all the people that I've kept in touch with, so J.K. from Porsche, Russ Coulson from Rolls Royce, all the calls that people told me, don't bother making them, you'll never get in. I have pictures of those people all around my office because that connects me to what I'm actually trying to create. And do you know what, don't laugh, but I always have a little candle on my desk to keep me company, and I guess that just signifies that, to me, that it's my soul, really, that is connecting. Because I don't see the telephone in the way that most people do. It's not just a lump of plastic. It's my portal. It's my portal into other people's lives. And I don't think that I'm shouting at people, although you probably think that I'm shouting. I think I'm actually whispering in their ear. And I'm bypassing what they're actually hearing and going straight resonating with the soul. And that is how I imagine it. And, You know, I never lose the wonder of the flipping telephone. Look at us now, 11 different countries, I'm here, you know. Actually, I'm glad you can't see me because I'm sat in my pyjamas in the office, so I'm actually glad you can't all see me. Oh, there's a visual picture for you, ladies and gentlemen. But, now I've lost my track. I never fail to lose the wonder of that telephone. The fact that I can pick up a little tiny piece of plastic or metal and in 3 minutes, 3 seconds, I'm speaking to somebody in Australia or South Africa or wherever. The next minute, if I get a meeting with them, I'm booking a plane ticket. You know, 2 weeks after that, I'm sat in front of them. That is a little bit of flipping magic, and that is one of the things that keeps me going.
Brilliant. Now, this question is also, I guess, related to not necessarily cold calling, but certainly picking up the phone. Now, certainly, like I know, I can actually certainly resonate with this question as well. Quite often, and catch myself in the act of putting off phone calls that I need to make to get out there and reach out and connect with people. I guess personally, like I can sometimes just distract myself with other things and put the calls to one side and sort of plan to do them later on in the day and never actually get around to doing it, which really is just a well-reversed avoidance strategy. So I guess, like, just to really tap on Janet's question, like, how do you actually pick up the call or pick up the phone when you feel like you can't?
Hey, flipping it, Janet. You and most of the world, my friend. Right, when I'm making those phone calls, two-thirds of my mind is on the call. One-third of my mind is on what that means to me, and it's not money. And it wasn't money when I worked for Attic and Propaganda. You know what? I'd get on that phone, and I'd imagine myself. A lot of the meetings that I did were in London, London and the big cities. So that what that meant to me was that I either flew to work, or I went on a train and got in the fancy dining car. I'd be getting my hair done. If it were a big, you know, if it were a big meeting, I'd imagine myself getting my hair done, going to the train station, getting on the train, and then I'd be able to have a cup of coffee in a fabulous hotel and spend a bit of time shopping in London, a bit of a day out of the office, and then I'd go and do the meeting. So I'd be meeting these amazing people that I was going to be talking to, and I'd imagine myself there. But for me, it wasn't even picking up the business that motivates me. It's the flipping day out, if I'm honest. So I would clarify for you what difference it would make to you, Janet. Is it that you get up and you get yourself all glamorized and you get out of that door in your black suit and your white shirt and your high heels or whatever it is that you wear, however you see yourself as a salesperson? Maybe it's the fact that you want to work abroad, so you're booking your plane tickets and jumping on those planes. How flipping glamorous is that? A third of my mind is always on the day out that the meeting gives me because I'm not too good at stepping in offices, to be honest.
Mm. I think that's a really good point because I think that was a question that popped up quite regularly for people. I guess looking to connect with something was like a motivating force that was just bigger than money. And I think you certainly touched on it in the answer earlier when you were talking about the candle and I guess seeing the whole sales process as a spiritual, I guess like a spiritual process, and you're out there connecting with other human beings and also bringing into play all the things that get you excited, like the day out, the getting dressed up, meeting new people, going shopping, and just making a real experience out of it. I think there's some really great points in there, Nikki.
Oh, and it's the adventure. You know, it's such a flipping adventure. You have no idea what's going to happen when you go through those reception doors, and that, you know, I find that really, really exciting.
Brilliant. Cool. Okay. On the call as well, like we have lots of coaches and trainers and hypnotherapists, and we had quite a few different questions from different coaches and hypnotherapists. But one question I did want to touch on, which I thought was quite a good one, was from Tracy. And Tracy just wanted to know how to convert prospects who actually ring up and inquire about her hypnotherapy service and how would she actually go about converting them into paying clients.
Tracy, flipping it, right. Let me have a little think about this. Right, if I were picking up that phone I would want to emotionally connect with those people and also emotionally connect them with why they had rang you in the first place. I'd almost want to put it right in their head. But I'd also want to put a picture in their head that made them imagine walking through my door. So it might be something like, I would say, oh, I'm really glad you called. You know what? 10 people a day tell me about stopping smoking. 10 people a day walk through my office door and sit in our reception. I'm even thinking about putting a special chair in for non-smokers. But I tell you what, the great thing is, it's fantastic to see them go out and come back in again 9 months later or 3 months later with white teeth for the first time in 10 years. And there's a few little things there. I mean, maybe that wasn't just delivered as polished as I would teach you how to do it. But there's a lot of mental pictures in there. People are imagining, you know, 10 people a day walking in, sitting in that special smoker's chair, you know, coming back in again 3 months later, white teeth, not had white teeth for all those years. That is what people are connecting with. That's why they want to come and almost be healed by you. But they're not, unless we emotionally connect them to what that means, which is walking into your reception, sitting on that chair, you're never going to sell them the appointment. Give them the picture in the mind and they'll sell it to themselves.
That is very, very powerful. Okay, now moving, this one's like an interesting one as well. Natalie.
Just on that, Teresa, if you want to email me after, I will write you a little script. I'll give me a call, I'm sure Damien will give you the number. I'll get you a little script actually and put it together and we'll perfect that. And I promise you, we'll get you more at your therapy clients. You won't sit down for a fortnight.
Brilliant. Very good offer. Question from Natalie. Natalie's just sort of getting back into her business after taking some maternity leave. And was just wondering about how to get back into the flow. And like you've had children yourself, Nikki, so I was just wondering how you actually went about getting back into the game.
Oh, congratulations, Natalie. Actually, and that's a funny one, isn't it? You know, women going back to work in 2008. Blimey. Well, when it's £180,000 is the average mortgage in this country, and flipping heck, it's £15 for a decent lipstick. So, £1 is a pound. It's for our American friends. Yeah. We all have to work these days, don't we? How do we motivate ourselves? I had to leave my boy because of the circumstances that I was left in. I had to leave my boy before I wanted to. He had to be dropped off at childminders at 7 o'clock in the morning, and sometimes it was 11 o'clock at night when my neighbours had to pick him up, and then I had to go out and get him out of somebody else's bed. And I was very clear about the compensation that would mean to me and my boy. And actually, you can probably hear the emotion and the passion in my voice because I am very focused on what that means. My boy, he's not seen his mother as much as I would have liked him. You know, I've had to sit him in front of DVDs while I've worked. I've had to get him out of the way while I've worked. We all have to do it because we've got to contribute financially to the house these days and also put ourselves back together again. But the compensation for me is that my boy, one day, very soon, we will only ever travel first class. And that is a compensation. And I honestly believe that that is the way that would help you if you looked at your situation in that way. You're doing what you're doing because your boy or your little boy or girl will travel first class. And also, when he or she sees his mum being massively successful, growing, you know, growing inside as well as getting older, that's going to be a massive motivator for your child, and it will put him or her in a better space in the world, believe me. I hope that is what has happened in my own instance. But it's a very emotionally loaded answer, that, because it means a lot to me, and I'm really glad that you asked it. And when I actually do my gigs these days, as I call them, I can speak to 1,000 people, and I can guarantee out of that 1,000 people, there'll be probably 50 either speak to me after about bringing kids up and working, or they'll email me after. So, you know, it's just part of life these days. It's how you see it.
Like, a very good friend of mine is an author as well, and he sort of shared a similar story with me, just in terms of really connecting with his life path. and he's, I guess, like forecasting the impact that may have on his children. But he said, like as a role model and as a father, the probably the best gift that he could give his children was to show them what it actually felt like and what it was like to really connect with work that inspired him, and just really lead by example for his small children. So, you've actually you've done exactly that in your life, Nikki.
Absolutely. There's another thing there as well, Natalie, that I have always taken my, he's 17 now, he's 6 foot two, he's probably listening at the other side of this door, but my boy, I've always taken him out on dates, because you don't spend that much time with him, or as much time as you'd like to, because you've got to work. Every Saturday we'd go out for lunch, from him being old enough to be able to sit up straight on his own. And I'd tell him all about my stories at Propaganda and the people I worked with and the places I'd been to. And, you know, when I went to America that first time, I was ringing him up at school. We didn't have mobiles in those days and getting him out of class. You know, the school hated me. But I was ringing him up saying, right, Mummy's about to get on this American Airlines jet. I'll be back. I'm going to bring you all this stuff. And I would very much involve him in what was happening. And it gave us so much to talk about. We're very, very much involved with each other's lives on a totally much deeper level. But that's it. You take your kids out on dates and you tell them all about what you do, and that's far more valuable than anything, I think.
Some very, very good advice. Now, Nikki, I've got one more question that I'm going to ask you before we actually take a few moments at the end of the call to open up the line to questions that people may have on the call. And this question, I've actually heard this statement so many times in my own business career, and I'm just wondering what your perspective is on this topic. And the question actually comes from Evan, and his question was, is selling just a numbers game? What are your thoughts on that?
Do you know what? If I could shoot every sales manager that stood up in front of their salespeople and goes, it's a numbers game, smile while you dial, if I could shoot them all, I'm sure somebody somewhere would give me the OBE. Believe me, Evan, it is not a numbers game. I might only make 15 phone calls a day, tops. But when I'm making those phone calls, I am completely focused on that person. They are getting my heart, my soul, my energy, everything. Nobody is just a number when I ring them. It's a totally different connection and a totally different energy. And if you see all those phone numbers as a number to be got through, that will come out in your voice. That will resonate. It will come out in your voice in some way. No, it's not a numbers game. No more than 15 a day, tops, I would say, but those people get your heart and soul, and you'll see your ratios jump up, because I promise you they will.
Great. I think, look, it comes back to the whole, something I've been really working on in my own business is the 80-20 rule. And I guess when you've got it really clear in your mind that you're only going to make some deep, important connections for that day, it must frame your mind up in a completely different way, I'd imagine. When you are picking up the phone, and just picking, I suppose, of the list of people you could call in a day, just I suppose really working out who is the actual most important people to call, and then just really connecting with them fully.
Yeah, and you know, sometimes it might take months and months, or even a year to get into somebody. You know, you don't always do it on that first call. So you know, another piece of advice, I suppose, is keep flipping going. And a really great one is, people say no to you, then just turn around and say something like, you know what, that's absolutely no problem, because it's a time and a place for everything. And if it's not time for us to meet up and have that coffee right now, then that's great. But I promise you, it's that important to me that I get on your radar screen, that I'm actually putting in the little diary now. Let's have a look. Sorry, not my little diary, I'm not seven. I'm putting the diary now. Oh, August the 3rd at 11 o'clock on the dot. I'll be back on that phone to you like an angel, so don't forget me. And you know what? Those people would remember you when you rang three months later. If it didn't work then, the same process again. You're letting them off the hook. You're also introducing the idea that there's a time and a place for everything, and maybe that's not the time, but there will be one day. And some of the biggest gigs I got, I mean, literally millions of kids with a business would. I would do that process every 3 months for 2 years, But sooner or later, they'd feel that they knew me enough to let me in and have a coffee with me.
Yeah, that's some brilliant advice. Great. Well, I just wanted just to take this opportunity just to thank everyone who actually submitted a question through the website. It's probably, like of all the teleseminars I've run, the actual quality of the questions was probably by far the best questions that I've received in through the site. So just wanted to extend a big thanks for people giving thought to their businesses and their sales process. But we will be opening the call up for some more questions in just a moment. But before we do that, I just wanted to, given the fact we're speaking about gigs, Nikki, you've got a gig coming up next week on the 23rd.
I think I'm sure, don't
I? And it's called The Big One. I just want to know what's the motivation for calling it The Big One? Maybe you could share that with people.
It's just a different format for me. So usually I would take 10 or 20 people maximum, and the ticket prices are usually around £250. So we said, right, why don't we do something different where we get, I don't know, 100 people and we just charge them £25 each. So that's why it's called The Big One, because it's much bigger than the other ones. And a slightly different format. Julian Kinnison, who we spoke about earlier on the call, he's going to be introducing it and telling the audience the truth about his business. I mean, that man is mega successful now. We're going to tell the truth about the state his business was in when I went to work for him 11 years ago. And I've also got the global marketing director of Sony Ericsson, John Bernard, who I sold to when he was at Siemens a few years ago, actually talking about what it's like at the other side of the fence. So what a buyer's actually looking for. And we just found out that the BBC are going to cover it, so flipping out, nervous or what. I've got a new suit, I'm getting my hair done, eyelashes extended, so please, you know, fly in, come, turn up, don't have me stood there on my own.
Lovely, and so that's next Wednesday evening, the 23rd of January.
6 o'clock at night till 7:30 at Leeds Elland Road Stadium.
Terrific, and like I know there are a number of people in different sections of the UK on the call. If someone was to travel up from London, how would they actually get there? And I presume it's a train straight to Leeds, and then
train straight to Leeds, and then go outside the Queen's Hotel. You'd have to register first, but I've actually set on a fleet of black Hummers to bring all my special guests up to Elland Road. So you'll get picked up in a black stretch Hummer and brought up, and if you're coming from wherever you're coming from, I will be there personally to give you a glass of champagne when you get there. My gigs aren't like ordinary gigs, it's much more of a party. If we're out, we're flipping well out. So it's the Hummer, it's the champagne, it's the whole thing.
Brilliant. Excellent. And how...
And I have a 25 quid, Damien, eh?
It's incredible, very. Now, just finally, how do people actually go about booking the gig?
Well, get on to hireitsnicky.com, HireItsNicky.com. Just log on to hireitsnicky.com and click on the icon, on the big one icon. I have to warn everybody though, on the picture, the photographs of myself on the website, I don't actually look like that. Thank God for a little bit of, shall we say, digital enhancement, ladies and gentlemen.
Cool, and I haven't actually mentioned this to you, Nikki, but I will certainly be making the journey up from London, so I'm really, really looking forward to hearing you speak and also hearing Julian speak.
Oh, that will make me nervous.
Next Wednesday.
Fantastic, thank you.
Yeah, but certainly I can only fully endorse that to everyone who is kicking off a business or in the sales process and looking to really maximise their performance this year in 2008. It's going to be amazing, and I can't wait to get up to Leeds to check it out for the evening. Now, we're just going to open the call now, so hopefully people have been writing down questions that they want to ask Nikki. Now, when I open the line for questions, if you do have a question, I'm just going to ask you to press 6 to unmute your line, and then once you've asked the question of Nikki, you can just press 6 to re-mute your line. And the reason we ask you to do that is just so we have a nice, crisp recording for other people to listen to when because they couldn't actually make the call. So 6 to unmute yourself and then 6 to mute yourself again. But I'm just going to change it to question mode. One second.
Conversation mode is on. Everyone can now be heard. Q&A mode is on. Participants may now unmute themselves.
Okay, so who has a question for Nikki about sales? It could be anything that we've discussed today about the sales process, or maybe have another burning question that maybe we didn't cover that you'd like to have answered. Who would like to ask a question?
I must have been very comprehensive tonight, Damien.
And now isn't the time to be shy. All those budding sales people on the call.
Hi, yeah, Nick.
Come on, let's be talking.
Okay, here we go. Yep.
It's Nick Howard. Hello, Nick.
Nick, how are you doing, Nick?
I'm right, thank you. How are you?
Very well.
So it's just a really quick question. It's not really a question, really. It's just to, I think, sum up what I think I've learned in the last hour. So what we're saying is really connecting with people on sort of a personal level. It's not all about the work, is it, and bringing the money in. It's about making that connection. Is that right, Nikki?
Absolutely. The world is so saturated, Nick, with goods and services that everybody's got to be good. Everybody's service is good. And people don't buy you so much as for your service as who you are. In the 80s, people chose businesses because of how much money they were making. In the 90s, it was how much good in the world they were doing. But now, people choose the suppliers. It's who you look. No matter what you find, ever. Don't care what is on your business card. What is the essence of you? What are your dreams? What are you frightened of? Where are you taking this business? Who are you really? That is what people are buying. You're absolutely right. It's that proper connection.
Good. Thank you very much.
Terrific. Thanks, Nick.
Thank you.
See you. Have a good night. Thank you.
What if you have a...
Thank you.
Hello, I hear another voice there.
Hi, this is Debbie. I'm wondering, what if you have a service to offer that you nobody's ever heard of before? How do you approach people with this new idea?
Right. We have to find the emotion behind the service. So, for instance, a business coach that helps people who have been made redundant and needed to find a new employment or set up some kind of a business. The emotion behind that would be that the coach helps people close old doors behind them and open new ones, basically. So we'd find the emotion behind the service. And then we tell a story around that emotion and around why you decided that you wanted to go out and create that business and start that service. So the story would be about the emotion created by the goods and service and the emotion and the story behind your own personal circumstances. And put those two together and we create something that was very, very engaging that people wanted to know more about.
Excellent. That's a really good question. Thank you.
Does that answer your question, Debbie?
I think she's gone off on mute. But that was an excellent question. Thanks, Debbie. Now, we've probably got time for one more question. Is there anyone else who had a pressing question?
Good question.
Hello.
Hiya.
Hi, it's Lorraine here. Hiya, Nikki.
Hi, Lorraine.
Hi, Lorraine. Hiya, how you doing?
I'm brilliant. Thank you. And you?
Oh, flipping heck, I tell you, I can't believe an hour's gone, Lorraine. I've just loved it. It's been fantastic.
Nikki,
what's your question?
Lorraine in Birmingham, Andy Evans. We are Joanne's friends, and we met you at the...
Oh!
Hi, Nikki. How you doing?
good. Fantastic to hear you. You came to see me do an event in Birmingham.
We did, yes. Well, I'm saying hiya, but we've also got a question, a sort of joint question from Andy and I, which is if you could sort of captivate in one sentence the secret to your success, what would you say that is?
Huh. Right. I think that's just one sentence, really. Nothing, but absolutely nothing on this earth or in the universe will stop me taking myself to what I saw myself being, doing and having when I set all this up, set up on this 11 years ago and set up my own business 4 years ago. There is nothing that God could ever create that would stop me getting to work to the picture of the Nikki that I see in my heart. And that, yeah, I do get emotional but when I speak in that way, but that is a straight answer. it is me and I am it, and I am very clear about what space I want to own in the world, or want to be, where I want to travel to, the people I want to meet, help. What that means to me, son, it's all very, very clear in my mind and my heart. And you saw me speak for an hour in Birmingham, and you saw the emotion that came out. So you won't be surprised when you hear me say that, because I'm sure that I probably did say that in Birmingham. I am it, and it is me, and I am the picture already. This Nikki in my office now, there's pictures of me, and it goes Nikki in New York, and then there's another one that goes Nikki in San Francisco, and then there's another picture of me. I'm looking around my office now, and there's a picture of my friend Debbie when I was on this call in one to Wisconsin, and I've got a picture of me coming down a plane, and she's there meeting me. That will happen because I am it, and it is me, and my boy will grow up proud of me, and that is it. I think that does that answer your question.
I think that goes back to first comments, which is complete clarity, and I think you have that, and you're going to do amazingly well. And we're coming up to see you next week,
darling,
and we look forward to seeing you then. And God bless you.
Oh, please come up after and say hi. Oh, that is so. Oh, thank you. Flipping brilliant. Yeah. Come on, hey Damien, there's going to be four of us now.
Oh, fantastic. Thanks for the question, Elena. It's a great question. And that brings us to the end of the call. And it's just flown by, Nikki. But I just really want to take this opportunity to say thank you so very much for really giving.
Not just
sharing your experience, but really giving of yourself and really opening up to us in a really deep and emotional way, sharing some of the things that are really important to you in your life. And it's not just about being a better salesman, but it's also being the person that you want to become. So I just really wanted to take this opportunity just to acknowledge you for giving up your time and sharing what you have inside of you. So thanks very much, Nikki.
Oh, thank you, and thank you everybody from all over that's logged on. Honestly, you've made my day. Thank you so much, and I hope to meet a few more of you soon.
Excellent. So for people who can make it to Leeds next week, it's on the 23rd of January. The gig kicks off at 6 p.m, but be there for 5:30 for a 6 o'clock start. If you are interested in actually getting a ticket to Nikki's event, you can jump onto the website hireitsnikki.com and book your ticket there. It's at the Leeds United Football Ground, and price for tickets is £25 a head, which, when you're throwing the hummers and the champagne on arrival, is exceptional value. And I'll certainly be there, and I look forward to connecting with people who can make it up there as well. Yeah, so just finally, Nikki, I know there are people who do run businesses that may actually want to actually hire your services to go and do some speaking, or to actually share some of the wisdom that you've developed over your career. How would they actually get in contact with you to maybe book you to go and speak in America or speak anywhere?
Oh, drop me an email. Drop me an email, and I will pack my bags.
Great.
It's as simple as that.
That easy.
And thank you. It's that easy. Drop me an email, and almost by the time I finish reading it, I'll have my bag packed and I'll be at that airport, and that I can promise you. People with my 17-year-old son in tow, carrying them for me. Yeah, please email, and I'd go anywhere in the world now. Thank you.
Great. Excellent. Thanks again, Nikki. You're an inspiration to me, and no doubt you've got a few more raving fans after this call. But I'm just going to put the phone onto unmute, so you all have an opportunity to say thank you to Nikki. So.
Presentation mode is on. Only organizers can be heard. Conversation mode is on. Everyone can now be heard.
Okay, so everyone
thank you. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Been lovely hearing your words of wisdom, girlfriend.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Well, I just wanted to say it. Thank you, the world, and good night.
Good night. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.